Good evening to everyone. It's good to see all who are able to be here. We're so thankful for everyone's presence. Of course, we're very glad to see David and Carla with us. We're thankful for the news that Matthew's COVID test came back negative, but we still want to keep Matthew in our prayers, but glad that the family seems to be safe from that potential threat. This morning, of course, we finished up a fairly long series. As I said this morning, the last 10 weeks we've spent on the eldership qualifications, and this morning was the final sermon in that series. But I certainly don't want to just leave the idea of leadership behind. In fact, I'll probably be having a few things to say over the coming weeks, some things for us to think about that. We're going to try and come back to the idea of eldership. The purpose of that series was to help us prepare ourselves to try and determine if we have men that are capable of being elders, and if not, where we need to grow in that area. But also just leadership in general is something that we always need to be considering for those of us that are leaders in the church. And also leadership is an important thing because the Lord's church is a very unique institution. It is a very unique organization. And I hope that our series on eldership showed that, in that leaders are not this class above that are completely different than the people they lead. Now, that may be true in some academic circles and politics and business, but in the church, we've tried to stress through our most recent series that elders, shepherds, overseers, while they are shepherds, they're also sheep. They are the Lord's people. They are Christians, just like every one of us. And really, the difference is simply that an elder is a man who has had the time and who has utilized that time to prove his faithfulness. And because we're able to see that faithfulness portrayed over an extended period of time, we can trust that man to lead us. But otherwise, he's just a Christian, like everybody else. And so when we talk about leadership in the church, it's important for those who are leaders, evangelists, teachers, men who are or desire to be elders. But also when we talk about leadership, we're often talking about things that every one of us can partake in. We're talking about things that just because we're not a preacher, just because we're not an elder or a teacher, we're often talking about things that all of us can do in some form or in some measure. And there's a passage in the Old Testament that when I went through some of my leadership lessons over the past couple of years, and off and on as I was looking at various of the lists of qualifications, I wanted to get to, and I just never did. And so I thought tonight, as we've wrapped up the leadership qualifications, I thought we would just do a brief lesson on Ezekiel chapter 34. And we're not going to go over all of Ezekiel 34. There's a lot there. But if you want to turn to Ezekiel 34, that's where we're going to base our remarks. And in this passage, what is taking place, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but basically what is happening is God is using Ezekiel to rebuke the leaders in Israel. And God refers to the leaders of Israel, or Judah at this point, as shepherds. Now that would refer to those, the princes of Israel, that would refer to those who were actual royalty and had the official political rulership over the people. This also referred to probably the priests and some of the false prophets. This would have been some of the wealthier class. He's going to talk or rebuke some of the fat sheep and the male goats, as Ezekiel refers to them later, or the Lord refers to them through Ezekiel later, that had more power and ability, but instead of using that to serve, they used that to abuse others. And so Ezekiel 34 is a chastisement against poor leadership. And it uses this shepherd imagery. And we've talked quite a bit about shepherds. We talked about that in a sermon. I know it's been a long time, so you may not, probably don't remember it. But the titles of eldership, one of those titles is shepherd. And we talked a bit about why an elder is a shepherd. And we've seen that as we've gone through the qualifications. But in Ezekiel 34, we have a picture of terrible shepherds. And that's what God rebukes the Israelite leaders for, is being terrible shepherds. But then also God claims that he is going to become the shepherd of his people. He's going to do what the Jewish leaders had failed to do. And so while we see a picture of terrible leadership and terrible shepherds in the early part of the chapter, in the middle part of the chapter, we see the perfect ideal image of a shepherd. And then later, God promises to send his shepherd, and that, of course, was Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. But we're going to use this to just look at some the poor example of the Jewish shepherds, and also God's positive example to see some of what goes in to caring for a flock and caring for a sheep. Let's go ahead and we will read the first several verses. Let's read verses 1 through 7. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me," that is Ezekiel, "son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." Verse 8 says, "As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them." You'll notice there's some repetition in there, and obviously God is trying to get across a very strong and a very important message for the leaders in Israel. Unfortunately, for the leaders of Israel, it was too late. They had proven their unfaithfulness and their uncaring attitudes towards God and towards his people. And so he was warning them of the judgment that was getting ready to come. But in promising that retribution and that punishment, he was also promising deliverance for those that had been wronged and those who had been neglected by these evil and poor shepherds. And so let's consider that, and we'll consider some of the later verses a little bit as well as we go through our sermon. But what we see here from a negative perspective, by seeing what the Israelite leaders did not do, and that's what they got rebuked for, then we get to see what a shepherd is supposed to do. And we can apply that, I think, even though our situation is not exactly like Israel or the Jewish people, I think we can apply the same spiritual principles to leadership and to shepherds in the New Testament church, but also just see some good things that we should all be doing for one another if we care for one another and want to help one another. Well, first of all, one of the things that a shepherd, one of the primary responsibilities that a shepherd has when it comes to taking care of sheep is to feed the sheep. Now, the shepherds of Ezekiel's day, and that Ezekiel's referring to, they were abusing their power. In fact, they were using their role as leaders simply for their own benefit. And what God likens this to is a shepherd who eats the meat of the sheep and who uses the wool from the sheep, but he doesn't feed the sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep. He doesn't pasture the flock. He doesn't protect the flock. He tries to get all of the benefits out of the flock for himself without putting in any of the work and service that goes into caring for the flock. Now, first of all, that's poor shepherding skills anyway, because it doesn't take a genius to figure out if you don't feed your sheep and if you don't protect your sheep and you don't care for your sheep, and you're just sitting there killing and eating them and taking the wool, but you're not doing any of the care, it's not going to be too long before you don't have a flock to feed yourself. So, and it's just foolishness at the outset. And yet this is exactly how many people lead. You look to the realm of politics, you look to the realm of business, you look to just about anywhere you want to where there's leadership, and what happens? Well, we all know the saying, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts? Absolutely. Why does power corrupt? Because it is so easy for human beings to be given authority and leadership and use that role for their own benefit. You give someone a little bit of power and a little bit of authority, and it's just so tempting to begin using that for one's own interest. And before long, maybe even doing something for one's own interest without regard for the interest of those that they're supposed to be leading, those they're supposed to be serving, and those they're supposed to be helping. But the good shepherd is supposed to feed the sheep. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3, Peter said, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Peter contradicts everything in those few verses that the Israelite leaders were doing, that were rebuked, the Jewish leaders were rebuked for doing in Ezekiel 34. He says, you don't do this by domineering those in your charge. That's exactly what the Jewish leaders had been doing. But one of the things that I want to point out is verse 2, where Peter says, shepherd the flock. Now, usually shepherd is a noun, but that there, as you can tell in the English, and it's the same in the Greek, is a verb. It's something to do, shepherd the flock. Now, that word there is the verb form where we get the word pastor, which is where we actually get the word pasture. And that's what the word means, to pasture the sheep. One of the things about being a shepherd is it's a little different than some other types of livestock. But one of the way that you feed sheep primarily is not to just give them food directly, but a shepherd leads his sheep to the right feeding grounds, to the right pastures. Now, he keeps an eye out because sheep are so defenseless. He watches out for dangers that might attack them while they're feeding. And so while the church elder or the church leader, their responsibility is to watch out for false doctrine, for wolves in sheep clothing that would come in and harm the flock, so that the flock can be growing in truth and be feeding on the word of God without the dangers of those who would come in and harm them. It was the responsibility of the shepherd to lead the sheep to good pastures. That's some of the beautiful imagery that you find in Psalm 23 and some of the other passages in the Old Testament about shepherding. In fact, even some of the passages you can read in Ezekiel 34, when God starts talking about how he would care for the sheep, he would lead them to good pastures. He would lead them to where they could feed. And that's true of New Testament leaders. We don't just spoon feed everybody. We don't. A church leader, a preacher, an elder, a teacher doesn't do all the thinking for the congregation. Now, when someone obeys the gospel and they're a babe in Christ, they may need a lot of help learning their Bible. And they may need a lot of help being told what's right and what's wrong as they learn. But the goal is not to just be a dictator that always tells everybody what's right and what's wrong. The goal of the church leader and the goal of every mature Christian is to be able to teach others and help them learn for themselves, to lead them along to green pastures of God's word so that they can feed and they can grow. And we're always keeping an eye out for dangers that might pose themselves against those people. But that's a very sobering responsibility. God rebuked the Israelite leaders because they were not feeding the sheep. Now, they were abusing their power and they were receiving from them, but they weren't taking care of them. As church leaders, again, whether it's as a preacher, as an elder, as a teacher, we have a responsibility to feed the sheep. Jesus told that to Peter. You remember there in John 21 when he's speaking to Peter in that resurrection scene, and he says to him three times, "Feed my sheep." That's something God wants for his people to do, and especially church leaders, is to feed the sheep. But there's more to being a shepherd than just taking the sheep around to one pasture next. That's very important, but there's more to it. One of the things that a shepherd is supposed to do is he is supposed to strengthen the sheep. Notice verse 4, "The weak you have not strengthened." And so a good shepherd is going to strengthen the weak sheep. Now imagine, this may not be so terrible among actual shepherds, but it wouldn't be a great shepherd if every time he saw a weak sheep, he just went ahead and let it wander off. He just went ahead and killed that sheep because it was wounded or because it was weak, not quite as strong as the other ones. Well, that's not a very good shepherd. In fact, he may be losing out in that he's not putting in some effort to increase the strength of that weak sheep. by just giving up on it. Well, how much worse is it when we're speaking not about actual sheep, but about people? One of the responsibilities of a shepherd is to strengthen the weak sheep. And in the church, we have a responsibility as leaders, but also as all Christians, to work at strengthening the weak. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, Paul says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Now, that is in the context of Romans 14 and the first few verses of 15 that are speaking about Christian liberties. And so we have to be careful there, because weakness in Romans 14 is not the way we typically think of as weakness. When we talk about weakness, a lot of times we talk about somebody who's not being the Christian that they ought to be. Romans 14 is not talking about Christians who are not as good of Christians as they ought to be. It's weak consciences. And so that's kind of a side topic, but still the principle is the same. Those who are strong are to bear with and have an obligation to bear with the failings or the scruples, as some translations say, of the weak, and not to please ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, Paul says, "We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." You know, that's a good outline of what it means to be a leader right there. And again, while we're talking about leadership, there's no reason that every single one of us, especially as we grow and as we mature, can't do some of this ourselves. Just because you're not a teacher, not a preacher, not an elder, doesn't mean that you can't admonish the idle that maybe you have influence with. It certainly doesn't mean that you can't encourage the faint-hearted. You see someone that's struggling and having a hard time, should you not encourage them because you're not a church leader? Well, of course not. You should encourage those that you have the ability to encourage. Can't you help the weak? You know, that's where the rubber really meets the road. We encourage the faint-hearted, and we help the weak. Now, sometimes I think we boil down encouragement to nothing more than really just saying something good, saying an encouraging word, saying, you know, you've got this, you can do this. Well, that may be encouraging, but as we're going to see in a little bit, Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2 says that we should bear one another's burdens. Real Christian encouragement is more than just saying, oh, you can do this. It's helping people. That's something I have to work on. That's something we all have to work on. Some people are better at it than others. But actually helping one another. You know, it's one thing to look at a person and be able to say, well, they're spiritually weak. They should be more mature. They should be stronger. They should be better in their church attendance. They should be more faithful in this and better at that and more righteous here. It's pretty easy to prescribe some of those things, especially about other people. But it's something else entirely to help them. Again, I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone here. But when we see someone who is weak, we don't just write them off because they're weak. That's like the shepherd that sees a struggling lamb and just leaves it to the wolves because it's too much work to make it stronger. Now, when we're dealing with people, the truth is sometimes there are people that don't want help. Sometimes there are people who are weak and they are content in their weakness and they don't want your help to become stronger. And that's on them. That's their decision. And until they desire the help and are willing to be helped, there's not much you or I or anyone's going to be able to do for them. But sometimes I think we assume that that's how everyone is. We assume that when someone is weak in the faith, that's how they want to be, and they're not going to listen to anybody, and that's not fair to them, and it's not fulfilling our role as Christian leaders and as Christian brothers and sisters. We have a responsibility to try and strengthen the weak, and there's many ways that we may be able to do that, but I encourage you to try and think, if there's someone that you're close with, someone that you have a relationship with that you know is not as strong as they ought to be, and I'm not asking us to be judgmental and go and become nitpicky of everybody in the congregation, but if there's someone that you realize is not as strong as they ought to be, instead of just thinking about that, instead of talking about that, instead of fretting about that, think about how you can help them in that. But also, it is the responsibility of a shepherd to heal. Sometimes there is just weakness that needs to be overcome through strengthening. Sometimes there are actual wounds that need to be healed. In verse 4, it says, the weak you have not strengthened. This is back in Ezekiel 34. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. Now, when you're a shepherd, there's times that there may be something wrong. A sheep might not just be weak. It may actually be sick. It may, for one reason or other, become injured, whether it got into a briar patch or whether it was attacked by some animal and it survived but is injured. Again, is it okay for the shepherd to just say, well, it's injured, it's sick, we're just going to let it die? Well, no, that's a cruel shepherd. That's a foolish shepherd. And how much worse is it when we're talking about not sheep, but people? There are people that have some very serious hurt in their lives. Now, all of us go through suffering of some form or fashion in our lives. And as church leaders especially, perhaps this is one of the things that many church leaders, again, myself included, have the most room for improvement on, is being in tune with people and knowing what's going on in people's lives, not to be nosy and not to be busybodies, but to be able to know and recognize when someone is hurting, when someone is facing sorrow, when someone is facing trials and tribulations, so that we can be there to encourage and to help, but not just that, but sometimes to be there to help them heal. Well, that's not always easy, but it's the responsibility of the shepherd to help the sheep that are injured and wounded and sick to heal. Now, sometimes there's physical things in life that people are suffering from, and we need to help. There are people that are suffering from maybe a sickness or a disease or some other tragedy. And it's good for Christian leaders and Christians in general to be there to help them bear those burdens. Sometimes there's spiritual hurt that's been done. Someone has been spiritually wronged or sinned against, and they need someone to help them through that. Maybe they've incurred some spiritual harm on themselves through their own choices, and they need to be rebuked or reprimanded perhaps, but even after that, and they've made things right, they may need some very serious help to heal. Sometimes people make a mess of their lives and a mess of their relationships, and they need some help healing those things in their lives. Christian leaders should be equipped to do that. And should want to do that. Again, not to be nosy and get their nose in everybody's affairs, but as a shepherd to help people heal, to bind up those who are brokenhearted. Psalm 147 verses 2 and 3 says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. What a beautiful picture of the Lord there. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In Isaiah 61 verse 1, this is a messianic passage. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Again, the Lord's work, part of the Lord's work was to bind up the brokenhearted. There are people whose lives can be described as brokenhearted. And sometimes that's the physical things in life, and all we can do is just be there to lend a helping hand, to be a shoulder to lean and cry on, to be an ear that can listen. Sometimes there are people that are brokenhearted because of the sin that has devastated their lives, and they need somebody that is there to give them the word of truth to help them overcome that hurt. They need someone that is there to offer the only power that can heal them, and that is the truth of the gospel given in a loving and a caring way. And it is the responsibility, especially of church leaders, to be well equipped to do that. But again, all of us can strive to help heal those who are brokenhearted, especially because of sin. Romans 12 verse 15 says to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. One of the benefits of being a flock is that we are all like sheep, but we're all in this together. We are a body, we are a family, and we have one another, or we should have one another, to lean on. We should be able to bear burdens with one another. We should bear burdens of others who are in need, and we should have the blessed opportunity to share our burdens with others who love us and care for us and want to heal us when that healing is needed. But another responsibility of the shepherd is to bring back the straying. The nature of sheep is that they wander. They stray. While they're in the pasture and while they're feeding on the grass, they're going to follow whatever grass trail they find, and they may wander off from the flock, and by the time that anyone notices, they may be way, way away from the flock. Now, that's dangerous because sheep have no natural defenses. Sheep are very prone to the dangers of the elements. They're obviously easy pickings for wolves or bears or lions or whatever carnivore might be out there in the area. And one of the only defenses they have is the protection of the flock and the numbers and the safety of being together. And so when one sheep starts to wander off, you don't really want to wait until it's lost to go find it. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But the shepherd's responsibility is to keep an eye on the flock, and when he sees one of these sheep to start to wander off, to go and corral that sheep and bring it back to the flock. Now, the Israelite shepherds had not done that. Again, verse 4 says, "The strayed you have not brought back." They didn't care when their sheep were wandering off. They were like a shepherd that was sitting there eating his lunch, his lamb chop sandwich, and he sees one of his sheep wandering off the mountain, and he knows, well, that sheep's a goner if he keeps wandering off, but I'd have to stop eating my lunch and stop doing what I'm doing and stop enjoying this relaxation, and I would actually have to go and get the sheep and bring it back. I'll just let it wander off. A lazy and worthless shepherd is what that is. Now, I don't know that it's always from laziness and apathy. I think sometimes it's because, like we talked about this morning, sometimes we're so worried about causing conflict and we just want to stay away from conflict. But whatever the reason is, sometimes we're not very good. And again, I'm pointing to myself as much as anybody. Sometimes we're not very good about bringing back those who are wandering off. And we don't need to, I'm not talking about being nitpicky and trying to make everybody do everything the exact way that I want them to do. But we see when someone begins to wander. Usually we can tell when someone begins to wander away from the faith. When they begin to dabble into things of the world. When they begin to toy with false doctrine, or they've been exposed to some false doctrine that's starting to lead them down a path they shouldn't go down. We see when their priorities start to take over and they begin to live more for the world than for Christ. Most people don't just wake up and say, "I'm an atheist today." Most people don't just wake up and leave the church like that. Most people, it's wandering off over time. And the problem is, too often we let them wander until they're lost. And it is always harder to go find and bring back a lost sheep than it is to bring them back while they're only wandering away. But that means we have to take action. That means sometimes we need to pick up the phone and have a frank conversation with someone in a loving and a gentle spirit, but call someone and say, "I'm concerned for this reason. I'm worried about this. You're showing these symptoms of wandering away from the faith, and I want to talk to you about it." Now again, this is the responsibility of church leaders especially. We need to be in tune with the flock. We need to know the flock. A leader who doesn't know his sheep is a lousy shepherd. We have to know the sheep so that we know if they're wandering. The truth is, sometimes we don't know people are wandering because we haven't been paying attention. Someone hasn't shown up to church in months, and we just finally realize it because we haven't paid attention. Someone's been living like the world for months, and just finally it comes to our attention because we haven't been involved. That's poor shepherding. But again, while this is responsibility for church leaders, all of us can take part in this. In fact, that's church leaders need help in this. In a congregation like ours, where we have 40, 50, 60, 70 people, sometimes sheep wander off. Even in a real shepherd situation, as much as the shepherd is busy caring for the sheep and binding up those that are wounded and healing those that are sick and feeding the sheep, you can understand why every now and then a sheep wanders off and he has to go find it. But in the church, the shepherds don't have to do all the work. You may not be a church leader, but you may see someone that's wandering off, And maybe you have the best opportunity to talk to them and try and bring them back. Or maybe you need to go help the church leader see the situation that is developing and help them bring them back. But it's so important that we bring back the straying. In Galatians 6 verses 1 through 2 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Restore him. When you see a brother or a sister in a transgression, it's not time to talk about it. It's not time to get mad about it. It's time to help them restore themselves to being in a right relationship with Christ. It's time to help bring them back from their wandering. James 5 verse 19 and 20 says, "My brothers, if anyone among you strays from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." This is what Jesus did. Now, we were beyond wandering. We were lost, as we're going to see in just a moment. But in 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25, speaking of Jesus, Peter says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Now, that right there is a picture of what it really means to go help the wandering sheep. When we talk about the wandering sheep, we're not talking about the sheep that's just taken a step or two outside of the fold and we just have to go and kind of nudge them back. That may be included. But sometimes finding the wandering sheep or bringing back the lost sheep costs a great deal. I think of David. Remember when he was going to fight Goliath and Saul was questioning him, and he gives an example from his shepherding days, and he talked about a time that a lion came and grabbed a sheep and a bear came and grabbed a sheep. And you know what David did? He did something absolutely nuts. He went after it. Now, I'm going to admit to you right now, I wouldn't be as good of a shepherd as David. If I saw a lion nab up one of the sheep, I'd say, "Well, lion got a good lunch. I'm not going to go fight a lion for a sheep. I'm not going to go fight a bear for a sheep. I could die." David was a great shepherd. He went and he rescued those sheep from the mouth of the lion and the mouth of the bear. You know, sometimes as church leaders, we may have to do a great deal at our own personal expense, maybe physically, even emotionally. We have to suffer and we toil and we struggle for the well-being of those that we watch over. But really, that love should exist in all of us. That love most certainly existed for Jesus. As Peter says, we were like wandering sheep. What did Jesus do to bring back the wandering sheep? He gave up his very own life for the well-being of his sheep. What an incredible love. Reminds you of Moses on an even grander scale. If you remember Moses, that time when the Israelites had built that golden calf and were worshiping it, and God was ready to wipe them out. And Moses stood in the breach. Moses even offered himself and said, "Take me, but spare them." Well, God didn't do that with Moses, but he would with his son. That's real leadership. The world's leadership abuses those that they lead for their own interest. Godly leaders give and sacrifice to serve those that they lead, just as Jesus gave and sacrificed to serve us. But again, while that's true of leaders, while we should be willing to do whatever is within our power to bring back the straying and the wandering so that they can be saved, that's not going to be easy. It takes time. It takes effort. Sometimes it takes people getting mad at you. But it's worth it to try and bring back the straying. But as I said, closely tied to this, sometimes they wander off, and before we can bring them back, they're lost. We look up and they're gone. The shepherd looks and he realizes he only has 99 sheep and he can't see the 100th anywhere. It has wandered off somewhere and it is lost. It'd be easy at that point to say, "Well, I was distracted. I should have paid better attention, but I didn't. But there's no way to find it now. God rebukes that attitude because he says in Ezekiel 34, verse 4, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. That's one of the responsibilities of the shepherd, is to seek the lost. You know what it says? It says you did not seek. Now that implies that sometimes you may seek the lost, but you may not find them. Sometimes people are gone and they don't want to come back, but that doesn't excuse us from seeking. Sometimes we see someone who's left the church, we see someone who's wandered off, and we just assume there's nothing to be done. And maybe there is nothing to be done, but we don't know that because we haven't done any seeking. We haven't gone and sought to bring them back home. Now in Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives a couple of parables. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. In fact, some commentators think that Jesus is thinking about or drawing upon Ezekiel 34 when he uses that parable. And he speaks about that flock of 100 sheep. And he says, which one of you having 99 sheep will not go and leave all that he has to search for that one sheep? Now that may sound crazy, but that's the love that Jesus has for us, and it's the love we should have for his church. And then after that parable, he switches from the shepherding metaphor to a woman who has 10 coins and she loses one. Now, this is kind of an interesting scenario, and after that's going to be the parable of the prodigal son. The first is a sheep who wanders off. Now, while shepherds need to pay attention and try and bring back people from wandering, we also have a responsibility not to wander. I have a responsibility as one of the sheep to stay with the flock. And when I wander away from the flock, I am opening myself up to danger. And sometimes we wander off and we get ourselves into danger. And we bear the primary responsibility for that. Now, when leaders see that happen, leaders have a responsibility to try and go and bring back the wandering. Now, that parable of the coins that Jesus gives, coins don't wander off. Coins get lost through neglect. And sometimes shepherds are neglectful. When a sheep wanders off because the shepherd is so busy doing his work, you can't hardly blame the shepherd for that. But when sheep wander off and become lost because the shepherd's napping or just not paying attention or being neglectful, that's on the shepherd. Now, the sheep may bear some responsibility as well when we're speaking about real situations. Obviously, they do. But sometimes people wander off because they've been neglected and they haven't been fed and they haven't been nurtured in the faith. It's like the people that we see sometimes that we preach the gospel to them and we convince them about baptism and they obey the gospel, and within a few weeks or months or a year, they're gone. Now, they bear responsibility for that. That's their fault. But sometimes it's our fault also, because we baptized them and we thought that was wonderful and we were elated, but then we didn't put in the work to feed them and strengthen them and heal them. And we just let them wander off and they're lost. We have a responsibility to do our very best to go and find those that are lost and bring them back to the fold. Again, not everybody will come back, but we at least need to seek. Essentially, the Israelite shepherds were unfaithful and they just didn't care. And the result was the sheep were scattered. God talks about that in verses 5 and 6. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill and they were scattered. And the shepherds just didn't care. We have a very sobering responsibility if we are church leaders, if we're teachers, evangelists, elders. We have a sobering responsibility as mature Christians to try and help make sure that the sheep don't just wander off. If we're negligent in our responsibilities, if we just don't care, we shouldn't be surprised if one day we wake up and most of the flock's gone because they've wandered off here. They've been stolen away by false doctrine there. They've been eaten by wolves over there. Or we shouldn't be surprised if all that's left is people that don't care, because we don't care. God had a harsh rebuke for shepherds that did not care. And we have no reason to believe that he views shepherds today any differently, who don't care and put in the work and the effort to truly shepherd his flock. Now, conversely to this, God sets the perfect example in verse 15 and 16. He says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. God is the ultimate leader. Jesus is the good shepherd. But in the church, he has established under shepherds. And we need to look at that role model of the good shepherd and of God, and feed the sheep and strengthen the sheep and heal the sheep. Bring back those that are wandering and straying. And when there are those that wander off and are lost, we need to do our very best to seek the lost and bring them back. That is the role of caring for the sheep. Again, it is the responsibility of church leaders. But I hope you see where every one of us can play some role in doing these things for our fellow Christians. Watch the study for this evening. I hope that that's helped. I hope that that's encouraged you in some way, maybe given you some things to think about in ways that you can help the sheep of God's flock and the people that belong to the Lord's family. We don't want to close without extending an invitation. If there's somebody here who's not a part of the family of God, you have an opportunity to become a child of God by believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can be added to the flock that is God's and become part of his great family. If you're one of the wandering sheep, if you've wandered off and recognize that, then change that. Come back to the safety of God's family, of God's flock. And if we can help you with that, we want to. If we can pray with you and for you, it would be our honor and our privilege to do that very thing. And so if there be one of either case, we'd encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing.